Last week we had a hard time finding me. I called out the wrong book. Right chapter and verse, just wrong book, but we're in the right book. The book of Luke. We're going to be talking this morning about, of course, we're celebrating the Advent season, God's second advent into the world, and his second creation to earth, the second Adam. And so we're looking for the advent, and people were anxiously and excitingly, and they were looking for God to send a Messiah on earth. And of course, in that time, they were not practicing Christianity. They were practicing Judaism. And in Judaism, they were anxiously awaiting Messiah to come. And so they had been praying and waiting. And we find in the second chapter of the book of Luke, beginning with the 25th verse, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" Father God, I just praise you and I thank you for this Advent season. I thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being born into this world. I ask you, Lord, to just take this message and use it to minister to your people. Father, I pray that you open hearts and minds and give us revelation knowledge and peace and joy and happiness in the Word. And Father, let us see the salvation that you have brought to the world. And we give you honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This guy, Simeon, cool dude. Simeon was a just man and he was devout. He loved God and he served God. And he was waiting on God to send the promised Messiah. You know, we kind of look at this season and we see a lot of waiting going on. When we think about Christmas time in the 21st century, we see a lot of waiting going on. There's stores that begin waiting, stores, department stores and retail stores and now online stores that begin waiting in about June for Christmas to come because they're expecting a big season. Are you with me? I mean, that they begin to wait. Even back in June, they're waiting. And then we find, even in our homes, we find the children are waiting for Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or whenever that they'll be able to get the gifts, regardless of whether who brings them or who they think brings the gift. It doesn't matter. They're just waiting on the gift. So this is a time and a season of waiting. But the unusual thing about when Simeon was waiting, it wasn't because it was Christmas time that he was waiting. He was waiting because he knew that there was a promise that God was going to send a Messiah, a deliverer, a Savior for the whole world. He knew that. And he was anxiously and eagerly waiting for God to send this. And every day Simeon went to the temple waiting for the Lord's Christ. Every day he went waiting and wondering if this would be the day that God would reveal to him through the Holy Spirit that he was sending a Christ, a deliverer for the world. I begin to think about waiting and how sometimes if we wait without expectation, we'll probably get what we're waiting for. When we wait for something with expectation, every day Simeon went with God, went to the temple expecting God to reveal the Christ to him, and he was expecting it to happen. And I preached many, many times how that whatever you expect usually happens. Whatever you think is going, you begin to build this in your mind. And I would this morning that God would put a new level of expectation on us, that we would expect something good. And here Simeon was expecting to find the Lord's Christ every time he went to the temple, and my mind began to go there. And I thought, what would happen in the church today, whether it's go-to church or any other church, but what would happen if every time we stepped into the temple or to the church of God, we would begin to wonder, what is God going to do for me today? What revelation is he going to give me? What is he going to give me? We need to come with expectation that God is really going to do something. I don't care if you don't need anything this morning. You've got a God that wants to do something different and something new in your life. And we need to come with expectation. And we'll find that the Holy Spirit will begin to lead us the same as the Holy Spirit was leading Simeon. Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit. He was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And every day he went, he was expecting God to do something. You know, when we wait on God to do something, God's going to bring a blessing with it. The Bible tells us those that wait upon the Lord, if we wait upon the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about God bringing expectations into your life and to bring good things, good tidings, good news into your life. And I don't know about you, but maybe some of you are like me this morning. I really need some good news into my life. I need God to speak something into my life that hasn't been revealed to me before. And I need for God to show me I'm there and I'm in control and I'm going to take care of everything that's going to happen. And here was Simeon. He went expecting God to reveal something to him. And finally, that day, as he was waiting upon the Lord, the moment he picked it up, he realized that the Christ was in his arms. If we could just get to that place that God, we can expect God to do something good in our life, not just in church, but every day of our life. When we go home, we need to expect God's going to do something good in our home. When we go to the workhouse, when we go to our job, we need to expect God is going to do something good in our job today. God is going to bring us a great peace and a great joy, and we begin to expect those things. You know, if you pray without expectation, nothing is ever really going to happen in your life. And if it does, you won't know it. If it does happen, you'll want. Listen, if you're praying, not expecting an answer, your answer could walk up and slap you in the face, and you'll get up and walk away wondering why God hadn't answered your prayer. Because you're not expecting. Can I tell you, in this season, we need to be expecting God. You know what is so amazing to me? I love this time of season. I love to go and buy and give, and I love to do all of it. I love to be with family. I love all this kind of stuff. But you know what? I'm expecting something far greater than this. And I enjoy this season, but the greatest season of all is when I realize that Jesus Christ was born into this world to die for this world and to return again. Yes. My expectation is the next Advent. Amen. It's not this Advent. It's already come to pass. I'm looking for the next Advent. I'm looking for him to come again. And I know that he is going to come again because he saved this world for purpose that he could come back and receive it unto himself. In John, the 14th chapter, the Bible says that if you love God, you trust God, you got to love me. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 14th chapter of John, beginning with the first verse, he said that. So we need to realize that he is coming again. He came into this world to do one thing, to prepare you and I and himself for the next thing that is going to happen. And the next thing is going to be far more exciting than those things that have already happened, because the Bible says that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the wonderful and glorious thing that God has prepared for them who diligently love him and seek him and want to do his will. It's that next advent that's about to take place. We're just in preparation for the next advent. This last advent has come and it has gone. And I've heard preachers say, and I've even said myself, and matter of fact, Pastor Ron and I were talking one day, and we were talking about how that God is going to come again. And when he comes, how excited everybody's going to be. And I think Pastor Ron said, or I might have even said it, you know, I can't wait until he comes, because when he comes, I'm going to go to heaven. And when I go to heaven, I want to hook up with some of the prophets of old. Amen. I want to talk to some of those guys that we read about, and some of those guys, well, listen, they're going to be more excited about talking to you and I, because they'll want to know, how did it feel to just be walking along in daily life expecting nothing, and all of a sudden, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus Christ calls up his church and you're shot up out of this world into an almighty eternity. That's going to be the most powerful thing that the world has ever known. We talk about the advent of Jesus. We talk about the miracle of a virgin birth. And hear me, I'm not taking away from that. There is a miracle in the virgin birth. And without the virgin birth, we would have no Christ today. And I understand all of this. But let me tell you about the miracle you and I need to be expecting, when all the people of the world, those that are asleep in Christ and those that are alive in Christ, are caught up in the same moment, in the same millisecond, filling heaven's air. Wow. That's a wow moment. That is a wow moment. You know, and somebody says, you know, can you just imagine being left? You know, we always talk about being caught up, but can you imagine being left? Can you imagine being left? You see this happening, and everybody's being taken up. All the Christians are being taken up, and you're not. That is not a wow moment. I can assure you, they're not going to say, wow. They're going to say, oh, dear God. Why, you know, what's going on? We need to be so excited, you and I, about the second advent. I love this advent, but we need to be excited. God is going to do miraculous things between now and then. But if you could just imagine the miracle that's going to take place in the second advent. We are waiting. Look at somebody and say, we're waiting. We're waiting with expectancy. We're expecting. We're waiting and we're expecting. Watch this. When you wait with expectancy, it creates excitement. It creates excitement when you're waiting with expectancy. It creates such an excitement within yourself and within your soul. And it just kind of exudes to everyone around you, because you're waiting and you're expecting it. And you can't wait till it happens, and you start to move forward. Hold it. You can't move toward it. You got to let God bring it to you. He's going to bring it to you. He's going, you know, we expect God to, you know, kind of put a thought in our mind, then you and I run after it. No. We need to realize that we need to wait upon the Lord. We need to allow God to bring it to us. We need to allow God to put things into order. We need to allow God to take our lives and put it into order and give us the ability to wait upon the power of God to move into our lives and take us to that place that He wants us to be so He can bless us in the manner that He wants to bless us. Our problem is we want to be blessed in the manner we want to be blessed. And what God wants to do for you is far superior than what you can even think of. That if you could ever get it in your head to plant your feet and wait on God. Amen. Just plant your feet and wait on God. Now, when I say plant your feet and wait on God, waiting on God, I'm not talking about sitting around twiddling your thumbs, wondering what to do next. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about believing God enough that you say, you know, I don't understand it. I don't know where it's going right now, but I know my God's in control. I know that whatever happens, He's already ordained it to happen in my life. And I don't care what the enemy says. The enemy's not going to make me falter. He's not going to make me fail. The enemy is not going to take away my joy because I have exceeding joy in Jesus Christ. Yeah. I know I get kind of excited when I'm talking about this stuff, but you've got to understand that I'm waiting with expectancy. Yes. I'm not sitting around here trying to be religious. Yes. I'm not wanting to look like I'm so pious that I can't, and I know piety is a good thing, but I'm not so pious that I can't understand that I'm still human and God has a blessing for me. There's still a little kid in this 70-year-old body that I can get excited waiting on the Lord and with expectancy that God is going to do something that I've never seen before. I just got to believe that Simeon went into that temple that day, and it was just another day. And I believe that the enemy probably told him, said, you know what, you can stay home today. You can stay home because same old, same old. The devil's a lie. I guarantee you. Listen, there's people get up on Sunday morning, you can stay home today. Same old, same old. Not much things going
to
happen differently.
You can
just stay home today because you've heard this pretty well preached, not maybe the same way, but pretty close to the same way. You've heard the same old songs over and over and over. You've done this, you've done that. You can just stay home. Oh, no, no, devil, you're a lie, because I'm expecting God to do something different. Come on, now, you have got to realize this. You have got to get in that mode. You are in charge of your life, and you have got to expose yourself to the devil. You got to let him know, oh, no, it may look like this, but I'm telling you, God has a different plan for me. It may look like I'm broke. It may look like I'm down and out. It may look like my bills are not paid, but God has a plan for me, and I'm expecting God to.
Amen.
With expectancy, he went expecting. Even though it never happened, he was still expecting it. Oh, my God. We know he was not Pentecostal. We know he was not Baptist. We know he was not Methodist. We know he was not a part of the 21st century church. Because when things don't happen, we go hunt it down and make it happen. I'm preaching now. See, we hunt it. We try to make it happen. You can't make God's stuff happen. He's got to bring it to you. He's got to bring it to you. Oh, listen. I've read, I don't know how many times I've read that Bible, but and I've read every version that they made. I even like the Cotton Patch version. And I read all this stuff. And all of the reading that I've done, I've never read where Simeon went door to door trying to find the Christ. Never read that. Have you? No. You read where he went to the temple and he waited on the consolation of Israel. He went and he waited. He said, I know that God's word is true and it's steadfast and it's sure. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to go to that temple every day and I'm going to expect God to answer me when I get there. Well, he could answer me at home. I'm sure the enemy probably told him that. How many times have you got up and wanted to go check that? Well, the Lord can speak to you at the house. Turn on the TV, he speaks through the TV. I've seen some of those programs he don't. He uses his adversary. What's this, church? You got to realize that when the enemy comes against you, you've got to let him know where you stand.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You got to let him know where you stand.
Yes.
If you start him hawing around with it and not being steadfast, and you say, I will give in a little bit, but I'm not going to give in enough that it'll cost me. Come on, church. You are hooked, and the devil's about to drag your butt slam into sin. You cannot entertain those things. You cannot allow the enemy to get you that far. You got to stand steadfast, sure. And what I love what Paul said. Paul said, take a more earnest heed to those things you know that you have seen in me. You've heard me do. You saw in me. You take a more earnest heed to them. You know what's right. There's not a person in this building that's over about 4 or 5 years old that I don't have to tell, that I must tell what's right and what's wrong.
That's right.
You may justify it, but you just want to do it. Come on. You know what's right. You know what to do. You know what not to do. We don't need to spend our time telling you what not to do. We need to spend our time telling you how to be blessed in the anointing of God's Holy Ghost. We need to tell you how to grow deeper and deeper and deeper into the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to tell you how to walk above those things that are trying to pull you down. We need to tell you how to be more like Christ instead of acting like Christ. We need to tell you that God is greater than every power of hell that comes against you, and God is able to do those things that he said he would do. God is able. The Bible says that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches, according to his supply, according to his peace,
yes,
according to what he has,
yes,
that he's able to supply you with that according to what he has in heaven, yes, what he has in glory. Now watch this. God has an abundance. And God wants to give you an abundance. All right, now I'm going to tell you something. I believe that God wants you so blessed that you can bless other people out of your overflow and not out of your need. Out of your overflow. God wants you to be so abundantly blessed that when you help someone or you bless someone, you're not taken away from yourself, but you're just sowing out of your overflow where God can take your overflow and make it a part of his overflow, because your overflow came from his overflow, and it all came out of heaven, and God wants to use what he has, his riches in glory, to bless people on earth.
Amen. Yes.
Simeon is going to the temple every day. He was not just sitting around twiddling his thumbs and wondering what he can do, but he was waiting on the Messiah. He was waiting on him to. Simeon was waiting on the Lord. And I love what the Bible, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, according to what version you use. I kind of like the Holy Ghost, if that's okay. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. In other words, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost began to think for him. You know, when you put on the mind of Christ, you quit thinking for yourself. You quit thinking for yourself. you begin to allow the Holy Ghost to think through you. I'm telling you, the enemy would like to put you in a place that you can you don't know what's right or what's wrong. And that is a lie from hell. You know what's right and you know what is wrong. You just need to do it. Listen, he wasn't just sitting around twiddling his thumbs, but he was waiting on Jesus to arrive, waiting on the Messiah to arrive. He was waiting, he was waiting, he was waiting. Look at somebody and say, he was waiting. And you need to be waiting. I love this. There was another man that we read about in the New Testament that's going to talk about the other end of Jesus's life. His name is Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was waiting on the Lord. And the Bible says in Mark 15:43 that Joseph was an honorable counselor. He was a just man, which also waited upon the kingdom of God, which also waited. Say waited.
Waited.
He also waited upon the kingdom of God to come and went in boldly and asked Pilate, Pontius Pilatus, Pilate, for the body of Jesus. When you start waiting and expecting, when you start waiting on the Lord, there's going to be an expectation, and this expectation is going to draw excitement. And everyone around Joseph of Arimathea saw that Jesus was dead. But the Bible says that he went to Pilate and asked for the body. Listen, this is important. He asked for the body of Jesus. He didn't ask, can I have Yeshua, Jesus? He said, can I have his body? Can I want his body.
Yes.
Now watch this. Why would Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea, want the body of Jesus? Because he had read the scriptures from old, and he knew that if he got that body, that he was going to come back after that body.
Yes.
Y'all got to work with me now.
Yes.
He was going to come back after that body. So he knew that if he got the body and preserved the body, that he would come back after the body. But what Joseph of Arimathea didn't know, that you and I know, that the body that the old prophets was talking about wasn't that physical body that was laid in that tomb. We are the body of Christ. And just as he went back after that body, he's going to come back after this body. And when he, oh my God. And when he comes back after this body, he's going to catch us up in the air with him.
Yes.
Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? He's coming back after his body. You're the body of Christ. He's coming back after you. He went after that body. He's going to come after this body. The devil will tell you it'll probably not happen in your lifetime. I don't care what the devil says. I believe that he's coming again. He's coming again. And when he comes, I want to be ready and prepared to be lifted up high and glorious with him into the heavens. In the book of Acts, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus who you've seen ascend will also descend. He's coming again in like manner. And when he comes, he's not coming to stay. He's not coming on vacation. He's coming to get his body. And when he comes to get his body, he's going to take his body with him. Oh, that's the reason it's so exciting to me. So exciting to me when we have the holy sacrament of communion. This is the body. This is the body of Christ, which was given for you. This is the body. This is what he's coming back after. And what do you do with it? You put it in you. So if he comes back after that body, he got to get your... Come on. You realize this is all a part of what's happening now in the Christian church. We call it a holy sacrament. And he calls it his body. Oh, here, listen to me, church. I believe that we need to be able to understand that when he comes back, he's going to come back after the whole body of Christ. And he will come back.
Yes.
This man, Simeon, let me finish here. This man, Simeon, was waiting on the consolation of Israel, for God to bring comfort to Israel. He was waiting. He was expecting. He was excited. How many of you know it's hard to get excited every day? Boy, when you're facing something that is not going to be pleasant, it's hard to be excited. I'm telling you. It's hard to be excited when you got something before you that's unpleasant. But when the Holy Spirit of God can push through that.
Amen.
Y'all got to hear this.
Mighty.
When the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot do it on your own. You got to have, how many of you know, let me just say this real quickly. How many of you know that everybody needs a Savior?
Amen.
You can't live good enough to go to God's heaven.
That's true.
You can't forgive yourself of sin.
Right.
You can't. You need a Savior. Here's this Simeon was. He went every day with expectancy. He went to the temple. I believe that when you and I stop and begin to see where God has brought us to this place, that he is going to come back and receive us. And where he is, we're going to be there forever. And God is going to bring comfort to us.
Yes.
See, what we're talking about is when we face something that is unpleasant, to get excited about it. I love what the angel said to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you good news. Say good news with me, church. Of great joy. Great. Now, it always amazed me, and this is the way I study and the way I read the Bible. It amazes me that he didn't say that to Simeon. Because now Simeon was truly waiting.
Yes.
He was true. We read this. He went every day waiting on good news. There's not one of you in this building. I'm going to say that. There may be some. I don't know. But most of you, or some of you, are just like me. Every now and then, I need a little good news of great joy.
Amen.
Every now and then, I need some good news.
Yes.
Every now and then, I need for God to speak something into my heart.
Yes.
That's just going to make me chuckle.
Yes.
Come on, church. I'm telling you.
Yes.
I'm telling you, and when you begin to see these things that are going to happen to you, it doesn't seem unpleasant. That's when you got to allow the Holy Spirit to take you from where you are and put you to where Jesus is, where you can see the end result and not the beginning result, and where you can see where God has already got everything under control, and you are not now looking into it, you're looking back at it, and God will give you the victory. Stand up with me, stand up. What's this? And I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it for you. Paul said in Romans 1:16 that the gospel was to everyone that believed. If you believe, it's for you. It's for everyone that believes. To the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Wow. I've heard people ask many times, why do you think Jesus went to the Jew first? It's easy. They believed. They believed. What do you mean they believed? They don't believe in Jesus now. No. If they're Orthodox Jew, they don't. They believe him, but they don't believe in him as the Son of God or that he is the Messiah. But watch this. They already believed in God. They believe in the same God you and I believe in.
Yes.
Come on, church.
Yes.
They're not worse than we are. They're equal with us. They believed in God. They believed, they called him Adonai. The only reason they called him Adonai because they didn't want to pronounce his name because they were afraid they'd pronounce it wrong. That's the respect they have for God. And so they already believed. They already believed in a Messiah. You could go to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall today in Israel, and you'll see Jew after Jew after Jew after Jew with their little hat on, and they're standing at the Western Wall, and they're dobbing, and they're praying for Messiah to come.
Yes.
Did you hear me? They already believe. That's the reason. God is going to go to them that believe. All right. I'm just going to tell you. I got to say it. I want you to hear it. And please try to hear my heart when I say this. God is going to go to them that believe. What are you believing for this morning? What are you believing for this morning? That is what God's going to come to you with. He's going to bring it to you. You just got to believe for it. Oh, I'm not a name it and claim it type preacher. Listen, I was preaching during the 70s and 80s. I remember those times. I remember when all of us that had a Volkswagen was kicking the tires, calling it a Cadillac. But every one of us got in a Volkswagen and drove away. I mean, I remember those times. I'm not a name it and claim it type fella. And I know that nowadays, if we were doing it, you could be driving that Ford and you can call it a Beamer all day long. And when you get up the next morning, you're going to still get in that Ford and go to work. I'm not that kind, but I do believe this. There's death and life in the tongue. What do you believe for? What do you believe for this morning? What do you believe for? Do you believe for the victory? Do you believe that you're going to walk out of here the victor or the victim? What do you believe for? What do you believe for? What do you believe for? You know, I believe that there comes a time in everyone's life that you got to believe further than what you can see. Come on, you. I remember hearing an interview years and years ago about, they were interviewing Muhammad Ali. And they asked him about when you punched somebody, that left that he had, when that hook that he had, when you punched them, did you look at their forehead, their nose, or their chest? What did you look at? He said, I looked at the back of their head. He said, I wanted to see all the way through. That's where I was going to put my fist. You got to see past it. There's going to come a time that you got to see past what you're facing.
Amen.
What you're facing is not your problem.
Yes.
Your problem is what's between your two ears.
Amen.
That's the battle you got to win.
Yes.
Oh, I'm telling you, the enemy does not attack your body. The enemy attacks your mind.
Yes.
The enemy attacks your mind. And so you've got to win that battle in between your ears this morning.
Amen.
What are you believing for? What are you believing for? What are you believing for? What are you believing for?